You like a good shot and a mixer? Probably gin.
Welcome to the Marketing Study Lab podcast with me, Peter Sumpton, the Lego master of marketing and marketing consultant, providing you with the building blocks you need to be a successful marketer. This intro lasts about 1 minute, so feel free to skip forward if you've heard all this before. I seriously won't be offended. If you're new to the show, we chat to amazing people to give you practical advice you can implement right now that will make you and your marketing truly awesome. The conversations we have will lead you to the actionable marketing knowledge you've been craving, and now you've found it, so you can relax and enjoy the rest of the show. Thanks to all those that have left a 5-star Apple Podcast review. It's the best way to support what I'm trying to do here. If you have a burning marketing question, you can catch me on LinkedIn. I know I'm supposed to say the links are in the show notes, but let's face it, you've got better things to do than try and find those pesky show notes right now. Enough of the show intro. Let's get on with introducing our guest. This podcast is part 2 of 2 from the recording of a workshop I was delighted to present at the end of last year around customer personas for Cambridge Social Media Day. Part 1 can be listened to by downloading episode 145 of the Marketing Study Lab. Suggest you do that first before listening to this, unless some of it might not make sense, although there's still some amazing takeaways in this episode. Either way, listen to 1, 2 or both. In the first part, we took a look at where your persona fits within your marketing strategy and where you can find the facts and figures you need to develop them. So in this episode, we cover the issues with just relying on that data, why you need to get creative with your personas, we discover what a B2B persona is all about, we take a look at how to build a persona using a template, and finally, I'll take some Q&As from the audience to answer those burning persona questions. It's worth noting here that there's a cheat sheet to go along with this workshop and these two podcast episodes, which can be found on the Marketing Study Lab website. The links, obvs, are in the show notes. Oh, one further note. The video recording of this workshop will be available with all the other amazing workshops, seminars, and presentations that featured over the 2 Cambridge Social Media Days last year very soon. Sign up and get a reminder of when they will be available at allthews.cambridgesocial.media/csm-day-2020. Or if you didn't write that down, click the link in the show notes. So from Pete, back to Pete, over to you. So if we actually think about it, the big issue with basing everything on fact, everything on data, is that sometimes it doesn't paint a great picture. It doesn't paint the picture we thought we'd end up with. It doesn't give us that overall objective viewpoint that we need to create for our persona. Essentially, you're not getting what you thought you'd get, which is where the fictional comes into it, really. And the fictional element of creating a persona can be hugely beneficial. It gives you vision. It gives you clarity in who you want to walk through that door. And that is a fundamental question when it comes to a fictional persona. Ask yourself who you want to walk through that door and say, I want to work with your business. Simple as that. That is your fictional persona. If you can build that in your mind's eye, if you can know and understand who that person is, then you know who you need to target. And I've spoken to countless businesses who say, that's everyone. And it fundamentally isn't. Do you want to deal with somebody who's a huge credit risk? Probably not. Do you want to deal with somebody that is late in paying? Probably not. Do you want to deal with somebody that asks 1,000 questions a day? Probably not. Time consuming. Or it might be. That could be your whole thing. Answering question time and time again. Again, we only know and understand these things when we start to think who we want to walk through the door, and that's why a fictional persona is hugely important to build on what we know already. But how do we do this? We ask a lot of questions. We ask ourselves a lot of questions. We ask what keeps our ideal client awake at night. What makes them happy? What are their needs? What are their wants? What's stopping them from doing things? What are their top excuses? What car do they own? What vices do they have? And think about what we're doing here. If we answer the majority of these questions with who we want through this door, who the ideal client is, then we can start to build communication topics around it. We've pretty much got our content calendar filled for the whole year. All these questions are available in that cheat sheet. And again, happy to share this with you, no problem at all. And that is how we build a fictional persona. We look at these elements. And if you think about it, if you start with fact and then fill in the blanks to who we want to walk through the door, how powerful is that to share with the whole company, you as an individual, to have in your mind's eye who you want to walk through that door so all your comms are targeted at them and them alone? If people join your company, they know exactly who they need to be targeting. It can be a business-wide thing, and that's why it's so, so important to get it right. Now, I've spoken a lot about B2C there, about the customer, the end user, your ideal client. Well, what about B2B? Because B2B companies have feelings too. We've got to remember that. But it's the same process. And as you can see, Angry Marvin there in the middle, he's got his brew as well. But we use the same kind of skills. We use the same kind of software. We look at purchasing. We look at product application. We look at usage. We look at location. We look at the size of the organization. We look at the relationships we build, who's coming onto our site. We use our CRM to see who's built that relationship. We see geographical locations. It could be you're strong targeting businesses in one area and not another. We can use these elements to build up a persona of a business specifically. But one thing we can't forget when we build a B2B persona is the individual, the person. So again, similarly to B2C, we build this persona on what we know, fact, but also fiction. So we look at their roles and responsibilities. We look at what objectives they've got. We look at what motivates them from a business perspective. We look at things like hobbies and interests. So think about it. If you know that the people you're targeting in individual businesses love golf, aren't your communications going to be much better if you focus them around golf and link them to what you do, or even not what you do? 10 top tips to get your putting more accurate. I'm kind of making this up. Used to play golf, don't anymore, bad back, another story, that's not for here. But imagine what you're doing there. You're linking directly to what they do socially. And who's not going to want to have that conversation with you? Because they can see that you know and understand them, not just on a business level, because that's covered. You know what they want on a business level, but on a personal level as well. But where do we get this information from a business perspective? Well, there's a few places that I'd suggest to go to. So Companies House is a great place to start. Accounts, fantastic. Gov.uk, again, if you're UK-based, a great place to look at white papers, information and details about certain industries. Check it out. That might lead you onto other things. And sometimes that's what we need to do, particularly with B2B personas. We go down that rabbit hole and allow ourselves to go down that rabbit hole to find these little bits of factual information and build that persona. Trade associations are a great place to go and know and understand the people that are in that association. Find out where they work, who they work for, the organizations in those associations, the size of the organizations, how they're built, how they're structured, who owns them, those types of things. You'll be able to find all these pieces of information out with a little bit of digging. And finally, trade publications, a great piece or place to get information on your industry, on individual companies, on who runs those companies. And yes, these are actual trade publications. The Hat Magazine, not a subscriber myself. Practical Poultry, just put it in there to test my ability to say Practical Poultry. And finally, Modern Ferret. I'd love to know if anyone subscribes to Modern Ferret. I don't do personally, but if you ever want to know how to have fun with your ferret, the swinging basket is a way to do it, apparently. I wouldn't know that. But anyway, you get the idea. Have a look. Usually they have top 10 in the industries or whatever it might be. Not quite sure what top 10 ferrets would be, mind you. Anyway, we digress. But that basically the same principles apply. B2B, B2C personas. You could do both. Build a B2B persona. Then build two B2C personas within the same companies, if you like. Maybe the MD, maybe the marketing manager. I don't know. Whoever your target market is, building on fact, building on fiction. But what does this look like? So I've given you all the information. I've given you a bit of insight on where to go and how to build them. What I would be doing to build a persona is using these touch points to build up a visual representation of who you're targeting. And there's one added extra on this slide, which we'll come to at the end. So if I was building a persona, I'd start with a name, give them a name. So let's say we saw him earlier, Benny, the 1980s summit space guy. It's always good to have an image, a picture, something, some representation. So when you think about your target market, when you think about the price point, how you're going to promote it, where people are going to go to, what processes they're going to go through to purchase from you, you can see this person do it. Go through what we spoke about, demographics, age, status, profession. Give a short bio, be descriptive here. And I don't think these boxes are big enough to fit it all in. So, you know, build your own. Some areas can be short, some areas can be long. Get creative as well. Hobbies, activities, what are they passionate about? What hobbies do they actually have? Personality types. Something we didn't talk about is Myers-Briggs. And this categorizes people into personality types such as counselor, giver, provider, idealist. If you know the personality type, then again, you can build your comms and everything about what you do to that particular personality type. Pain points and challenges, don't forget these. What feelings do they have towards their pain points and challenges? And what solutions are there to their pain points? Where do they look for these? What solutions do you offer them? Is there a synergy there? And there's got to be, there must be. What are their motivations and goals? Not just linked to your products or services, your solutions to their problems, but further afield as well. Their digital preferences, as we've seen before, but dig a little deeper. Contact details. Do they prefer a telephone conversation, face-to-face, not so prevalent now? Email. Do they use voice, social media? Are they into future tech? They're a bit of a technophobe. Who knows? Build it. Know and understand them. And finally, brands and influences. What are their favorite brands? If we know that their favorite sportswear brand is Gymshark or Axis or Adidas, we can start to link our communications to them. You know, maybe we start to talk about one of those. Maybe we start to wear them in our lives, for example. And the final bit, the clincher, the bit that I haven't spoken about today, the negative persona. What we don't want from our personas. Now, that sounds a bit counterintuitive, but it's hugely important. Think about what drives you nuts. What would be a waste of time to have that person as a client, that business as a client, the time sappers, the tire kickers, the ones that don't bring you an ROI or achieve that goal, that yearly goal, that three-year goal. Paint a picture of them as your anti-persona. So they should be anti-Lego. They should be anti-space. They should be anti-space guy or anti-Lego, if you like. Probably Meccano. Urgh, damn you, Meccano and your metal gadgets. But anyway, that's what you want. And if you know who you don't want as your persona, you know who you don't want to target, all your comms can be devoid of them. You can see those coming a mile off and they are not beneficial for your business. They're just not. They're not going to get you to your end goal. So make sure you have that in mind. Now, you probably, sorry, just a few examples of customer personas and how you build them, what they can look like. So get creative, make it interesting, make it something people want to see, but are beneficial for your business. You can use the cheat sheets, although they're not that creative. Create your own. I mean, look how creative these are. You know, it makes you want to read it. It makes you want to know and understand it. And you don't have to go too detailed. As long as you've got the information behind it, think of it like a dashboard. So we know that Toby Day is into IT and internet and software and mobile apps and a bit of social networks and likes Audi and Coca-Cola. Where's that data come from? How much does she like IT and the internet? You should have that data behind it. But as a persona, we don't have to go too detailed. It can just be top level, like a dashboard. So the final thing I just want to cover today is how it works, to show you it works, to prove it works. So for example, let's take these two amazing days that Lenka has put on. We have no information at all. We're just starting afresh for next year, 2022. 2021, in fact, where I jumped a year. Forgettable year, really, this, isn't it? We just know that this event is going on next year. So we want to build a persona. So using Google Analytics, Facebook, and a little bit of fictional, this is kind of what I discovered. So you're all small business superheroes, age between 25 and 34, and you use a mobile, predominantly iPhone, and desktop pretty much evenly. But you're twice as likely to pay to come to this event on desktop than you are a mobile. You provide business services or a consultant. You like shopping and love a bargain. Bit of a movie lover, and you've probably got a Netflix account. You're environmentally conscious. Good for you. Like a bit of celeb gossip on the side. And are looking or has moved home or job recently. You're more likely to comment, like, or even click on an ad that is specific to you than most people. And you're interested in websites like Not on the High Street, Fearless, Birchbox. You like a little drink, and you might have had a drink last night and after this event again tonight while you're networking. You like a good shot and a mixer, probably gin. And you like your home decor as well, made with love, and you like a bit of a candle. Now, hopefully, I've sort of described you or a few elements there that describes you as a person, as an individual, or that you can resonate to. And if I have, fantastic, we're onto a winner. We know what we need to be talking about, and we know who will be coming to this event next year. So one final top tip, just to wrap up and just to summarize, really. We should be basing our customer persona on fact and fiction. Start with fact. Start with internal, what we've got and what we know. Then look at external, look at social, look at sentiment. And then we bring in the fictional elements, who we want through that door. Build that persona. You can do it for B2B and B2C. It doesn't matter. The more detail we have, the easier it is to know and understand our target market. And one final top tip for you. And this is where your phone comes in handy. So if I can ask you all to get your phone. And this is a top tip I learned. So if you can get your phone and just put it on camera, give you a second to do that, okay? And what I'd like you to do is just point it at the screen so you've got the full screen in view of your camera, okay? And this will fundamentally help you with your marketing or just persona building in itself. And after three, I want you to take a photo of the screen, okay? Are we ready? One, two, three. All right, fantastic. You've got all my details now stored in your phone. No need for business cards. You can connect with me on Facebook. You can join the Marketing Study Lab Facebook group. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. Send me an email. And if you're on an iPhone, a link should have been opened up to the marketing planning course that I offer on my website. Cheeky little promo, I know. But there's loads of free tools on there. If you go to the homepage, top left, I think it is, there's the marketing planning course, of which a few sections are free. There's a customer mapping guide, cheat sheet. And there's also a 4-page 10-step marketing plan of which personas are part of. So finally, from me, happy marketing. And I will happily take any questions anybody may have. Hopefully you found that of usefulness, and you can start to build a persona. But that's my presentation.
Hi, Peter.
Hiya.
So it's some really, really great tips. I've got to say that I love the reference to Tony Soprano. I love the show.
Yeah, no problem with that one.
I didn't see that coming. So we do have a few comments in the chat and a few questions. So
cool.
I'll start with the chat, actually. Everybody loved it. Chloe has a bit of a long question. So she says, my clients don't have a shared age, income, or lifestyle. What they do, however, is that they have a shared ambition to reflect on their business and take it to new heights. And also a shared problem of not knowing where to start or needing support in that growth. So is there anything, you know, that she could do to get in so much detail? And how can we use customer personas to work for us individually and as businesses and business owners?
So hopefully there was a few tips through those slides. But what I'd be saying is, and this is only knowing what I know, but you could look at creating three personas. I think you said there was three kind of ages. If not, look at developing, again, that persona for that person you want to walk through the door. So building a persona doesn't mean we're ignoring everybody else. All it means is that if we think back to Kevin Kelly's smallest viable audience, 1,000 true fans. Now, Kevin Kelly wasn't saying that we should ignore everybody. But if we try and target everyone and we say, well, who's our target market? Everybody. Then we're essentially saying that we're for nobody. We're an also ran because we're not specific enough. We're not detailed enough. I'd love to get into a conversation and see if we could build a persona, actually. That'd be really interesting. But have a look on your website or have a look through your accounts. And there must be something by way of how much people are willing to spend, when they spend, how much they spend. There must be something there. And it can be a tiny little nugget, or even geographical. Where are they in the UK or globally? It can be a tiny little nugget that can lead to something else. So for example, if we were an American company and we were looking to sell things into the UK, we could start with just looking at what are people like in the UK. Now, bear in mind, if you Google search that, you'll probably get some crazy answers. But if we go on Acorn, for example, that would give us a good idea of what people are like in the UK. And then we could narrow it down further to there. So I think to answer the question short and summarize, just start somewhere with anything. It doesn't have to be an age or an income. It can be location. It could be favorite TV show, and then build it from there. You know, build your comms around that. Because, for example, going back to Tony Soprano, if you know that your target market love The Sopranos, then start to link things to gangsters and things like that, and do it a little bit tongue in cheek, you know, and sleeping with the fishes and stuff like that. And you know, we're laughing about it, but that resonates. And if you can get people on side and breaking down those barriers to just being that transactional business.
Yeah, it truly does. You're right about that.
You'll end up being more empathetic, and they will know and understand you, and you will know and understand them a lot better.
And it's a good place to start, definitely. Even a TV show, like you mentioned, would still be a really, really good place to start. I agree.
Like for example, not that I watch it, but it seems to be on my telly a lot more than it should be, to be fair. But I'm a Celebrity's just started.
Oh,
so if you know your target market watches that, start commenting on it. Build comms around that. Ask people questions about, do you think that task or whatever with stars is would you do that? You know, and then link it to your business and whatever you want to push and promote.
Yeah, truly good. We do have a couple of questions as well.
Okay.
So Katrina asks, you've mentioned having more than one persona a couple of times. I've always been told we should have just one persona or one per product or service. So I wondered, what's your take on it?
Again, it depends the size of the business and what you're trying to achieve, really. If you're a smaller business, I would say focus on that one individual persona. Again, it could be a business persona and then whoever's in that business that you want to target. But that depends on how different your products are or how different your services are or how big your business is. So say you were a multinational, the chances are you're going to have numerous personas. So to give you an example, let me just get this right. But to give you an example, Ford use multiple personas. So they have Antonella, Natasha, Ashley, Kristen, Jack, and that is linked to individual cars. Staples have seven. Even Microsoft, when they developed Windows XP, I can hear the groans already, but when they developed Windows XP, they had seven different personas and rationales behind why people would buy Windows. So if you're a small business, I'd focus on one, because you only want to deal with those customers that come through that door that are going to be beneficial to you and get you to a certain place. If you're a bigger company, you might want to expand that. So there's no right or wrong answer, I think, is the short answer to that.
Yeah, true. And Chloe also notes that she feels happier at thought of having more than one persona, which, yeah, could be useful.
Yeah, and that's fine. You've just, I think if you're going to have more than one persona, there might be an overlap, and that's fantastic. But when it comes to things like, and as marketers, we fall into this pigeonhole of just being communicators and being known as the communication department.
That's true.
So if you build a good persona, that can link to, again, the seven P's of marketing. So it can link to price, it can link to product and product development, for instance. So if you've got two personas, you might only sell one product, but those two personas can highlight the difference that that product can be used for, or the differences a service can be used for through those two personas. So there's nothing wrong. It just depends on time and resource.
Mm-hmm. So it always depends on the business then and the needs of the business.
So
start small maybe before you start growing.
Again, don't think we have this perception. I think it's more from a social media point of view, but we need to target everyone because everybody needs to know our message. To be fair, most people don't care. They just want you to solve their problem. So solve that problem and build on that, solving that one person's problem. And everyone will start to come to you because of that.
Yeah, true. We've got another comment, a question. I'm working with a school who don't commit to a persona or having a focused target market. What would be your one single bit of advice to try and persuade them otherwise?
So so for a school... and again, let's just say hypothetical. So let's say it's a business school and they're targeting. There we go, straight away. We're targeting. So we've built a persona already. So we're targeting 20 to 30-year-olds because 99% of people that go to that business school are 20 to 30. Straight away, you built a persona. The one question I'd ask them straight away is, who are we targeting then? And just ask them that. And if they say everybody, well, that's a lie, because do you want people in that school that don't want to learn? No. And we're not saying that we wouldn't bring those people in. What we're saying is that that isn't our target market. We want to be targeting people that want to learn, because they will in turn make the school better and look better because they will be more engaged.
Yeah. It's all about not wasting too much time either. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So again, if that school doesn't want a persona, then it's a bit weird. But why? Because you'll fall into that category of just being an also ran marketer, of doing the same thing that everybody does, because that's what we've been taught and that's what people are doing, because we've always done it like that. And that's the more companies I work with, the more I see that time and time again, that people get stuck in this rut of, let's be on every social platform in the world. Well, no, you don't have to be. Understand your target market, because like you said, it saves time, it saves money, and it's more efficient.
And we've always done it like this. This is not a good way to go about
it. Absolutely. Breaking down that wall.
Yeah.
And the more specific you can be, the better it is.
True.
And don't be too vain on, and I'm sure we've heard this over the 2 days, but don't be too vain on likes, shares, comments, and everything. If you get that one like, or you get that one share, or that one comment that leads to a sale, what's the problem there?
Yeah, I agree. Oh, got another question by Kat. My clients are golfers. I run match play competitions. Do I need to go deeper with my persona?
Yeah, I mean, so if you're targeting golfers, that's a great start. I mentioned golfers from the other way around in terms of working for a business and playing golf kind of linked. But if you're targeting golfers specifically, then what businesses do they run? What family unit do they have? How many times do they play golf? What do they do side of golf? And I suppose you already know what their favorite golf ball is, what their favorite club is, and that kind of stuff. But what football teams do they support? They're obviously into their sport. So what alcohol do they drink? What cars do they drive? And resonate with them through that perspective and know and understand. Because if you know and understand them as a golfer and as a human being, you'll resonate with them far easier than just talking about golf, which probably all your competition are doing, just talking about golf. Stand out from the crowd.
Yeah, I think that many marketers, we tend to forget that there's a human being behind the digital.
Yeah. and just one thing I'd ask is think about your favorite brand and how they resonate with you. So if you think about, I used M&M's as an example a couple of weeks ago, but if you think about M&M's, you think that their target market is everybody, but it isn't, because they're not targeting people that don't like chocolate. If you think about what M&M's are, well, they're really aimed at children, but you look at their advertising and it's very adult themed. So they've almost got two personas here. They've got the M&M's world, which, well, it kind of smells of that sickly chocolatey kind of vibe, and there's just chocolate everywhere. So for chocolate lovers heaven, but it's made for kids. You know, that area is made for kids. But M&M's know that they've got another target market there that are purely adults. So let's do adult themed advertising for them. And then let's have individual characters that can be as appealing to a younger audience as it is an adult audience. So they've probably got two going on there.
Yeah, it's a really sweet spot, but I think they've got it really, really good.
Yeah.
The ads are amazing, really.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like you look at how that resonates with a particular audience. It's not for everybody. It's very tongue-in-cheek. It's quite sexual in a way, but not in the way that Flake, for example, would be more sensual with the old kind of advertising of a lady in a bath eating a flake and relaxing. Hugely different, but it's chocolate at the end of the day.
That's
just
true.
Chocolate.
The simple stuff, then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, if there is any more questions, we do have a couple of more minutes. So if you want to ask anything more, now's the time.
Cool.
Other than that, I think that everybody loved especially the M&M explanation. It's chocolate, so everybody loves it.
Exactly. You know, so they've linked, and I'm not saying there isn't a link between chocolate and sex and endorphins and stuff like that. But, you know, if you walked into M&M's world and said, what advertising are we going to do? Oh, we're going to have two chocolate M&Ms in bed with a woman and the husband's going to come home. They're like, what? You know, the craziness. But, you know, there's some link there. And I almost guarantee that's been done through data research and who are we targeting.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it seems to be working just fine. I really do love it. It's always so much fun, actually. I think it's both for the kids and for the parents as well. Works for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Parents and children. And if you target the parents, the children come hand in hand.
Yeah,
you know, if you get the parents on side, you're walking past M&M World, you're walking past a sweet shop, straight in there, you're going to resonate, they're going to resonate. Fantastic. Both ends.
True. And it's vice versa. Sometimes you get the kids, you get the parents as well. So
absolutely. Yep. I can't remember what they call that, but there's a certain thing from it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Excellent then. Thank you very much, Peter.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye. Bye. Thank you so much for joining us today on Marketing Study Lab. It really means the world that you're listening to this out there. And hopefully I've provided you some value. If you're looking to know more about what Marketing Study Lab does and is about, go to marketingstudylab.co.uk or get in touch with me personally, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, or feel free to email me at peter@marketingstudylab.co.uk. Happy marketing.